Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When we talk about dating, a lot of the time it's about how to get that first date with a high-quality person, right? But what we often glaze over is how to get the second date, right? How do you actually take that first interaction and hopefully funnel it into what could be a second, a third, a fourth, and ultimately a relationship, right? Because at the end of the day, first dates are kind of meaningless if they're not leading you one step closer to meeting the person of your dreams. And so on today's episode, we're going to talk about how to get the second date, how to have an excellent first date that leaves the other person wanting more and essentially gives you the control so that you can be the chooser and not be constantly left hanging and at the mercy of someone else's decision in terms of whether to go out with you again or not. So if this is interesting to you and you are struggling to get the second date or the third date or the fourth date, then stick around because we're going to dive into all this and more on today's episode. Hey there, it's your girl, Nelly, matchmaker and dating coach. We talk about all things high value dating, how to meet your person, how to find love in today's dumpster fire dating economy, and also how to become a high value single because as I always say, we don't attract what we want in life, we attract what we are. So if that sounds interesting to you, please make sure you follow and subscribe to this podcast and I can't wait to take you along this journey. Welcome to the High Value Dating Podcast.
Hey Nelly, I've been taking your advice and going on a lot more dates recently. I'm 34 and I've been single for a while, but I feel like I don't know what to talk about with men. I often find myself drifting into conversations about work or my life and opening up a lot in conversation. And then when I don't get a second date, it makes me feel frustrated and like my vulnerability was for nothing. I'm just really tired of this happening. So do you have any advice for me?
Thank you so much for submitting that voice note. First of all, I commend you for putting yourself out there and going on first dates, meeting new people, right? It's not easy. And a lot of the times it is exhausting. It is frustrating, especially when those dates are not leading to second dates, right? And a lot of the times you're putting yourself out there, you might be investing money, especially if you're a guy, but also as women, right? You're putting yourself together, you're moving things around, you're making time. And if it doesn't pan into something more, it can feel like a waste. I would say this first and foremost though, anytime the wrong person moves out of your life, they make room for the right person to walk in. So just because a first date doesn't necessarily lead to a second date or a third date doesn't mean it's a waste, even though it might feel like that in the moment. It actually might be a blessing and the universe might be moving you one step closer to meeting the person you're meant to be with. And you had to go through, yeah, a few people. You had to kiss a couple frogs. Or I actually had a friend, I think I've told this story before, who went on 41 first dates last year. First dates, not even including second or third, right? And so nobody identifies probably more with this episode than she does. I have another girlfriend too who has told me multiple times, Nelly, I made dating a full-time job and it got me nowhere. So I say this to acknowledge the frustration, but sometimes meeting people and having those things not pan out is actually, like I said earlier, a blessing in disguise because you don't know what the reason for them not giving you a second date might be. And I think it's very easy to assume that we don't get a second date because we're not enough for that person or we didn't show up as being good enough for that person, when in all actuality, sometimes you don't get a second date because someone senses that you're looking for something meaningful. Maybe they're looking for something casual, or maybe they feel insecure around you because they are not in a place where they feel good enough, right? So we often assume that it's because of us. And I've talked about this before in the rejection episode, but often it could be about them and we might not even know. So don't jump to conclusions and think, oh, well, I didn't get a second date because I'm obviously a sack of potatoes. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You may have actually shown up being so awesome and so incredible that that person was like, I don't feel good enough for them. And again, that's a blessing in disguise. You might not see it right away, but entertain the idea that things are working out for you. Entertain the possibility of things manifesting in the background. I can tell you every time I've gone on a first date that's not led to a second date and I've been upset about it, a few months later or a year later, I've been so grateful for that. I've been like, thank God it didn't work out with that person because they want to do yoga in Costa Rica and I want to go shopping in Beverly Hills and we are just not the same, right? And so sometimes too, when you're on these first dates, it's not actually you wanting that person. It's you wanting the validation of someone giving you a second date. And those things are not the same, right? If you're going into dates thinking that if someone doesn't give you a second one, you're not a high value individual, that's problematic. You don't need someone who's not meant for you to validate you. You need the right person. I'm going to repeat that. One person to say yes. That's all you need. And I actually have a client who is going through something similar to this right now. She said, Nelly, I am so upset because I go on these first dates and none of these guys are impressed by me. And I'm looking for, and you know, we dug into it, but she eventually said, yeah, I'm looking for the validation. I want, you know, that validation that I'm worthy of a second date. But what does that validation mean or represent if it's from someone that you're actually not even compatible with or that you're not even attracted to? Right? Numbers, when it comes to dating, are a lot less important than quality. I would rather you go on one fantastic first date that leads somewhere than 40 with someone you're not compatible with, only thinking that you're going to get validation from those people. Right? At the end of the day, if that is your MO, then I would suggest you dig deep and ask yourself, why am I placing so much emphasis on this? Why do I need 20 men or 20 women to validate me by giving me a second date if I'm not even into them? Maybe it's because there's a part of you that doesn't truly love and accept yourself fully. You might have parts of you that you do love, right? But if you truly know your worth and you truly believe that you are a queen or a king in your own right, then someone not giving you a second date isn't going to be that big of a deal to you because you're going to be validating yourself, right? So that's the first bit I will share on that. Now, what happens if you go on a date with someone you actually really do like and you don't get a second date? That's really frustrating, right? Or maybe this happens a lot, right? I have one client, a male client of mine, who goes on first dates all the time. He's a matchmaking client, so I'm always setting him up. And he wanted to take a girl on a second date and she denied. And that was kind of upsetting to him because, you know, it's hard enough to actually get to a point where you like someone. And then if that person doesn't give you a second date, right, it's really discouraging. And this kind of brings me back to what I was saying earlier, though. We don't always know why someone doesn't give us a second date. Sometimes it is not because we are not enough. It's maybe because we're too much for that person. You create the narrative in your mind around your situation, unless they give you complete closure, transparent closure. But a lot of the times we're not going to get that. Another thing I want to kind of drill into is how we go about showing up on these dates. Because sometimes, and I would not be a good dating coach if I didn't acknowledge this, sometimes it is us. Sometimes we are not showing up as the best versions of ourselves on these dates, or we're changing the course of the conversation and putting it in direction that isn't exactly romantic or isn't enabling us to create that that bond with someone, right? And so there are certain things that we can do on these dates to enable us to deepen a connection with someone who we don't know that well and ultimately set us up for a second date. So that's something we can also discuss. But before I dive into that, which I'm going to talk more about after the break, I just want to emphasize that you only need one. And it is so easy to think, well, I'm going on all these dates and I'm putting myself out there. So it's a numbers game. And eventually I'm going to meet someone. Again, if you're going on a bunch of dates with people you're not compatible to and who you're basically just accepting dates from because you need that validation or you want the stimulation of a first date, I don't think that you are strategically dating. I do think there's something to be said about increasing the volume of dates. But again, if the volume of dates is not synced up to the quality of dates, then it doesn't actually matter, right? And this is why this entire podcast essentially designed around teaching you how to date more strategically so that you can find that high value partner you're looking for. But if you want to start dating strategically, you need to make sure that you're also saying no to first dates that don't align with you, right? If there's someone asking you out who you know you're not interested in and you're incompatible to based on the information you have in front of you, I would rather you say no to that date and hold out for a really high quality date than go on a date just because someone set you, you know, someone asked you out and you're feeling like you need that attention. Attention is something that a lot of people are looking for in dating right now, right? Attention and validation. But is that actually yielding the kind of results that those people want? I don't think so. And again, I have plenty of friends who have tried that approach before. I've tried that approach before. And it doesn't lead to where you want it to lead because, again, you're going in for the wrong reasons. And a lot of the times you're starting off on the wrong foot because you're giving yeses to people that you're incompatible with to begin with. Now, that said, maybe you are dating strategically. Maybe you are going on dates with people who you're compatible to, and you are going on dates with high value individuals, and those dates are just not leading to second dates. Then what? Then what? Well, maybe, again, maybe you're showing up on these dates wrong. Maybe you're not showing up correctly on these dates. And that can mean a lot of different things, by the way. That can mean physically. Maybe your energy is low. Maybe you've got a negative vibe about you. Maybe you're not interested in the person you're sitting across from. We're going to talk about some tips on how to essentially have a great first date, because the key to getting a second date is not necessarily in what happens after the date. It's what happens on the date. It's how you show up on that first date that will land you the second date. So let's talk about that after the break. Stay with me and we'll go into all that and more.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thanks for staying with me through that break, guys. So let's talk about some ways you can ensure that you have a great first date. Now, obviously, this is not going to be a guarantee. You might have all of these things implemented and still not get a second date. But as a dating coach and as someone who really tries to hyperanalyze my clients and how they come across on dates, what I can tell you is a few things. First of all, a lot of people underestimate the power of energy. Energy being how your presence comes across in person, right? And this is why you'll sometimes meet people who on a dating app look like a 10 out of 10. And in person, it's almost like they have a cloud, dark cloud kind of constantly looming over them. Energy is powerful. How do you create that energy though? How do you really bring someone into your orbit? The key is to be present. Meaning when you're on a date, and they feel like these are just obvious things, but they need to be repeated. Get off your phone. Put your phone down. Put it in your handbag or just don't look at it. It's rude. And it also distracts you from being really present with that person. I would rather you have 45 minutes of giving someone your full undivided attention than 2 hours of a date where you're constantly checking your phone and your mind is elsewhere. Be present. Why is this important? Because when you're present with people, you make them feel seen. You make them feel acknowledged. You make them feel valued and meaningful. And if you can create that feeling in someone else, they will actually like you more. This is something that a lot of people, scholars specifically, call the Bill Clinton effect. And by the way, it's not a political comment. It's more the effect that he has and the charisma that he has because he is present with people. If you can create that by, again, literally just being focused on who is in front of you, I would say that's like 40%, minimum 40% of it, right? It's just being present. Secondly, interesting people are interested in others. A lot of the times when we're nervous or we're meeting someone new or we want to impress someone, what do? We talk about ourselves. We go into full jabber mode of our accomplishments and our life story and this and that. What's wrong with that? Well, first of all, when you are super vulnerable with someone up front and you're constantly talking about yourself, they're not going to feel as seen by you. And so you might leave that date feeling seen by them, right? Because you just fully exposed your whole life story and then some. And they might leave with a totally different experience, thinking, oh, maybe this person's self-centered or this person's not interested in me or this person really only just likes to hear their own voice. And so you're essentially being vulnerable, but for your personal benefit. And you might not even realize that you're doing this, right? Again, you want to be impressing this person, but the way to actually impress someone is to be interested by them. Ask them questions, get to know them, get them talking about themselves. The more people talk about themselves, the more they're going to like you. Studies prove that. And this is actually something that is very commonly known in the sales industry. You know, as a matchmaker and dating coach, a lot of my business is sales, right? Bringing in new clients. And the way to close sales is actually to get people talking about themselves more. Someone can talk about themselves, or if someone can do 70% of the talking, they're going to naturally be more inclined to want to give you their money, to want to give you their time, to like you more, right? If you think about it, do you know someone who you can go to and talk about yourself whenever you want? Probably. We all kind of have that person or people like that. And a lot of the times, we enjoy being around those people because we feel like we can be honest about ourselves with them. We can talk about, you know, what's going on in our lives, right? And that they care. So I implore you to be interested in other people. And actually, I have a client who I was just chatting about this whole thing with because she had been going on dates and they were not panning out to second dates. And I said, what are you talking about the whole time? Oh, well, I'm talking about my new business and I'm talking about my job and this conference I'm going to be speaking at. And, you know, she was going on about all these things she's talking about. Like, what did you learn about him? Oh, well, actually, it's a good question. Yeah, that's the point. Be interested in someone. Ask them questions. Get to know them. Get them to do the talking. That's how you essentially set yourself up to get them to want to ask you out again. And on that note, let's talk about some of the questions you can ask, right? Where'd you grow up? Do you like where you live? Do you like what you do for work? How long have you been doing that for? A technique when it comes to questions that I personally advocate for is something called threading. What threading is you're picking a topic, and then when that person answers a question on that, you dive deeper based on their answer. So for example, where'd you grow up? Oh, I grew up in Canada. Oh, what part of Canada? See, subtopic. Toronto. Oh, I love Toronto. Did you not enjoy living there, or what inspired you to move to LA? Do you see how you're taking a macro topic through that initial question and you're funneling it into a deeper question? That's how you get to know someone better. That's how you peel back the layers of the onion. Another example is, have you ever been married before? Well, actually, yeah, I was married 5 years ago. By the way, I was not actually married 5 years ago, but you know, giving you an example here. Oh, and do you want to get married again? Did you not end amicably? Right. Sometimes these are a little more personal, but that kind of brings me to my next point. It's okay to get personal on a first date. I think a lot of people feel like they have to just kind of focus on surface level conversation topics on first dates. My personal opinion is cut through the crap. You're on that date. You're spending your valuable time meeting someone. Get to know them on a deeper level. Don't feel like you can't dive into the depths of what they want. Save yourself the time in the long run, because guess what? You might find out a lot more on that first date if you simply have the courage to ask more questions and more intentional questions and save yourself maybe 6 months. And 6 months later, you find out, oh, actually, you don't want to convert religions, or actually, you don't even want children, or actually, you want to move to Timbuktu and I'm planning on living in New York City. How's that going to work out? Right? Save yourself the time. Sometimes it can feel a little bit, again, vulnerable or interrogating when you dive into really deep conversational topics on a first date. But the point of a first date is to evaluate if this person and you are compatible, right? If you feel like you're compatible on that first date, I would say go on a second date, even if the chemistry isn't necessarily there. Like if they're checking enough of those boxes on the first date, I would say that warrants a second date. That's just my personal opinion. But if you're completely just going off chemistry on a first date and you're gliding over the compatibility, you actually might be spending more time in the long run with someone who you have nothing in common with, no shared values, no shared morals. So I would much rather you ask those questions. Another example is like, the election just happened, right? If you are very firm in your political beliefs and you do not want to date someone who has opposing political beliefs than you, I know they say it's taboo to talk about politics, religion, and I think the other one is sex on a first date. But my personal opinion is, if that's important to you, I would much rather you bring it up. Now, it's all about how you bring it up, right? You don't want to necessarily be there on a first date, someone you met 5 minutes ago, say, well, who'd you vote for, right? You could subtly bring it up. You could say something to the effect of, how was your week? Oh, my week was great. Why was it great? Well, you know, I got a promotion. How was your week? My week was great. You know, I'm just so thrilled that we are finally turning a page politically. Then you see how they respond. Well, what do you mean turning a page politically? Oh, well, you know, I'm just happy to see us move into this new da-da-da, right? And then based on their answers, you kind of will be able to subtly gauge where they're at. I went on a first date once, actually, not too long ago, and funny enough, probably last spring, with someone who I thought I had a lot in common with, but on that first date, I realized we were on totally different ends of the political spectrum. Thank God I realized that on that first date, because had I not, I probably would have ended up going on a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth date, maybe even getting a relationship with someone, only to find out after the fact that we have totally different values and morals, right? And totally different ideologies, which for me is a deal breaker. And for him, also a deal breaker. Don't be afraid to go deep with people on first dates, because if you don't, you might end up expending a lot more time, energy, and money on someone who you actually are not aligned with. Also, and again, doesn't have to be on a first date, but first three dates, I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about money and lifestyle. I went on a date once with a guy who point blank asked me, how do you feel about living in Santa Monica? How do you feel about living in Venice? By the way, I live in California. So Venice, California, not Venice, Italy. I don't like Venice. I told him. I like Beverly Hills. I like Bel Air. I like West Hollywood, right? Different lifestyles. And another way you can ask this is like, hey, what's your ideal vacation? They say, well, I really want to go camping and I enjoy roughing it out in the woods. Great. You know, if that's not your vibe, that you and that person might not gel. Now, I'm not saying that it's always one or the other, right? Sometimes you're willing to take, you know, certain incompatibilities if they come with other compatibilities. But my point in all of this and just sharing these examples is I want you guys to ask questions that allow you to peel back, again, the layers of the onion, open up the hood of the car, and get to know someone based on their values, their morals, whether you guys are aligned, because it will save you so much time. Here's another thing. I went on a date with a guy once, very chivalrous guy. He checked a lot of boxes. But on the date, at the end, he was driving me home. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing this weekend? He said, well, I'm going to church. You know, I'm really big on family and I got more into God and I'm, you know, really starting to build my relationship with Jesus. I said, well, that's great. You know, I also, you know, believe in God, but, you know, I'm Jewish and I want to raise my kids Jewish. Guess what? It wasn't even that awkward because we both almost were so relieved that we knew that we had totally different kind of faiths. We had totally different religious beliefs. And had we both avoided that, we probably would have ended up in a situation that wouldn't have actually worked out. And guess what? Now that man is my client. And I'm working on setting him up with a woman who is a believer in Christianity and Catholicism. And so here's another way to look at it, right? Not every first date that doesn't pan into a second date is for waste or for nothing. You can turn a lot of these first dates into friendships. You can turn them into business relationships. You never know why you might be meeting that person. And maybe the point of that interaction is not actually for something romantic. Maybe it's for something greater. Maybe it's for something different. And this goes back to another tip that I always emphasize to my clients. Take the pressure off yourself on a first date. Take the expectation out of the equation when it comes to first dates, because if you're going in with this pressure that you're putting on yourself, I need this person to be my husband, I need this person to be my wife, I almost feel like you're setting yourself up to fail. I would rather you go into a first date with the mindset of, hey, I'm going to go meet up with a friend, or I'm going to go make a new friend, or I'm going to go meet someone because I just want to be social tonight. When you go into it with that expectation, you, first of all, I think really reduce your likelihood of being disappointed afterward. And also, you just lighten up your entire aura. And I think that you're personally setting yourself up for success when you do approach dating that way, right? With this more kind of laid back mindset. But anyways, there are a lot more tips I want to share with you on how to get the second date. So stay with me, because after the break, we're diving into all that and more. Thanks for staying with me through that break, guys. So before the break, we dove into a lot of tips on how to act on a first date, the questions to ask, the topics to cover. But there are certain things you can do on and after a first date to essentially ensure or at least increase the likelihood that you're going to get the second date. So the first tip is, when you're on the first date, if you're having a nice time, talk about seeing them again in the future. And especially if you're a guy, I feel like this is something that all men should be doing if they're enjoying themselves on a first date. But women too, right? It's like you're ending off the date. You could be like, when am I seeing you again? Or what are you doing this weekend? Or actually, I have tickets to this concert. We should go. Or I really want to go on a hike this weekend. If you're around, let's do it. Right? Why is that so powerful? Because when you're on the date, you're able to also essentially suss out, engage if they would like to see you again. If the person that you're on the date with is like, yeah, I'd love to go on a hike this weekend, should we just plan it out now? Should we do this canyon or that trail? Then you're basically locking in the second date while you're on the first date. And the reason this is powerful too is if you leave too much time after the first date and the ideally second date, then you run the risk of that person maybe meeting someone else, maybe making other plans, right? And so then it's even harder to get back on their calendar. Whereas if you're on that date and you're talking about and you're planting the seeds for a second date, or not even necessarily, sometimes the word date just, it sets the tone for something that's a lot more serious, second interaction, then that I think is really awesome, because you're basically finding a way to get in their calendar or see them again. Or if they're not enjoying themselves, I think you'll be able to also sense through, you know, micro behavioral reactions where they're at, right? If they kind of say, well, I don't know, I'll get back to you, or yeah, let me check my calendar and I'll circle back. Well, then you know that that person probably isn't that excited about seeing you again. And you know, right there and then on that first date. So that's one way you can get a second date, is essentially to try to plan it while you're on the first date. Secondly, after you get off the date, if you want to see them again, you could send a text, or, you know, if they call you, you can mention to them on the phone, I had a really nice time tonight, would love to do it again. Or thank you so much for a great night, I am still buzzing. Or tonight was really fun and refreshing, I would love to do it again sometime. You're not necessarily even asking them out. You're just saying, hey, I'd love to do this again. You're giving them the opportunity to take the bait. You're giving them the opening to say, yeah, actually, let's do it again. What are you doing tomorrow? Or what are you doing Friday? Now, if they don't take the bait, at least you conveyed your intention and your interest. And then you don't have to wonder and worry what happened and why they never asked you out again, right? Because you know, oh, well, at least I did everything that I could do to set my intention and be obvious about that. So my point in all of this is, it's really important that if you want the second date and you're having a good time, you let that person know you're having a good time, right? And another thing too is, if they don't take the bait, I don't personally think you should go back and reach out again. I don't think you should essentially diminish yourself and chase someone, right? That's not how adults should be dating, in my opinion. I think if you make your intentions clear and you express to them that you had a nice time and you'd love to do it again and they don't really reciprocate, that's your answer. You don't need more clarity. That is your answer, right? Because guess what? If someone you liked said that, I am willing to bet you would be like, heck yeah, let's do it again. Read the writing on the wall. Another thing, if you don't get the second date, I implore you to move on. Move on quickly, fail fast, pick yourself up. Why is this important? Because first dates are just get to know yous, but you really don't know someone until you know them. And it's very easy when you meet someone and, you know, on first dates, everyone's trying to put their best foot forward. Everyone's trying to, you know, get you to like them and show off and whatever. But you really don't know who someone is until you know who that person is. So while you might be quick to romanticize the situation or put that person on a pedestal, you have no idea how they're living their life. You don't know the situation they're in. There are plenty of men, for example, who I've encountered on first dates in the past who, you know, they try to appear like they're super successful and they've got all this going on and all this stuff going on. But in reality, they could be living with five roommates and in, you know, crazy amounts of debt. But you would never know that. Likewise, you know, you could go on a date with someone and they might be very fit and in shape. You have no idea. They could be taking, you know, really dangerous supplements, or they could be on drugs or whatever they might be doing. So I implore you guys to not romanticize these first dates either. And here's another thing. You are the prize. You are the catch. And you have to start operating that way. This person is lucky to be on a date with you. That's the mindset you have to have. Your time is valuable. Your time is precious. You are worthy. You are incredible. And if someone doesn't see that on a first date, guess what? That's their loss. It's their loss. This is why it's so important to have a very solid and strong self-concept and sense of self-worth. Because when you have a very powerful, solid sense of self, you're going to seek out validation a lot less from others. You're not going to seek out as much validation from others or any at all. Also, a lot of people, when they go on first dates, are quick to talk about work. They want to talk about their day and their job and this and that. And it's like, these are not job interviews. First dates are not where you should be leading with your resume and your accolades, right? Talk about who you are. Talk about what you want. Talk about, yes, I know work makes up a huge part of our self-concept. Like me, for example, I'm so passionate about what I do that it's hard not to talk about work. But there are other things that you can discuss on these dates. Hobbies, family, travel, what you want to be doing with your life in 5 years, philanthropy, pop culture, right? So try to, I'm not saying you can't talk about work at all, but just try to balance it out. And if you're going on these first dates with like almost a checklist of, well, what school did you go to? And how do you like your job? And da, 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 it can just come off kind of clinical. It doesn't exactly start off on a romantic foot, right? It's not exactly romantic when you're talking about how many hours you were working last week and you're, you know, a-hole boss and this and that. No one wants to talk about that. So just balance it out. You know, you can obviously mention it, I'm sure. And I think this is something I've also seen, especially with my female clients, is trying to dodge the questions about work altogether or downplay it altogether. Look, be who you are. But I would just say, try to balance out the conversation. And also, it's okay to be a little mysterious. You do not have to basically reveal your full life story to someone you've never met, right? Take it slow. If you don't want to especially feel stripped of your vulnerability after a first date, if it doesn't lead to a second date, then I would just say, like, hold back certain bits of information if you want to. Keep your cards close to your chest. Someone has to earn access to your life. They have to earn access to that information. But yeah, you are the prize, you're the catch, and you have to act like it. But just to recap everything we discussed, ask questions. Don't feel like you can't dive deep. Also, act interested in other people, act impressed, right? Because that's actually how they're going to want to be around you more. Make sure you are on these first dates going in with intention and trying to line up quality dates with people you're compatible to. Try to take the expectation out of the interaction. Ask really meaningful questions. And If you're having a great time and you'd like to see that person again, set up the second date while you're on the date or not too long after. And I think if you put all these tips into effect, you're going to have a lot more, you're going to yield a lot more second dates. And more importantly, you're going to get one step closer to meeting the person you're actually meant to be with. Because like I always say, you only need one. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I personally love talking about first dates. And if you want to see another episode on first dates or second dates or any topic really that interests you, feel free to leave a comment or send me a DM on my Instagram. You can also send me a voice note with something you're going through, and maybe I will respond to it like I did on this episode in a future one. And if you're loving the podcast, it would mean a lot if you left a rating or review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you're listening. Or if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. Anyways, I will talk to you guys in my next episode, and I am sending you love, light, and abundance going into your day. Bye.
Pioneer.